a very special edition of Live and Local, and live from the studios at 33rd and Burt. I'm your local host, Mike Hogan. Thank you so much for joining me today. And my guest today is the superintendent of Omaha Public Schools, Dr. Cheryl Logan, and we are in the studio, socially distanced, masked, and we have all sorts of good hygiene products across our hands, doing everything as we are supposed to. Dr. Logan, thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I do want to start with a little piece of happy news and a congratulations. You just got married.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. Our wedding was planned for July 11th, and because we live in two different cities, we decided back in early March that the next time we saw each other, we would just go ahead and do it. And so with seven socially distanced guests and our wonderful officiant, Judge Vernon Daniels, who's a dear friend, we got married.
That's fantastic.
And I promised if I got on the news that I would mention him. So, Judge Daniels, you have been mentioned.
That's fantastic. And I must say, to give everybody the visual, since we are in radio, what a smile you have. It's
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Congratulations
Thank
to you. That's a wonderful piece of joy in what is a very chaotic time.
It is,
currently.
Indeed.
Omaha Public Schools has been closed for some time now. And it's also ending a week earlier. Some may ask, why do that? What difference does it make? But there is a difference, isn't there?
Well, there most certainly is. You know, we dove into the deep end in terms of distance learning with our 54,000 students and our teachers and staff. And so there have been many lessons learned. I will tell you that about every 5 days, I really kind of have a day where I just have to recalibrate. And one of the things that we learned is that, you know, we have a lot of opportunity here to make sure that our teachers are prepared to be to teach in a distance learning environment, in a remote learning environment, and also in a blended learning environment, as we have been called upon to participate in community mitigation efforts. We anticipate that that will happen again, and we want to be better prepared. As I have said to my staff, when we have to do this again, we're going to be able to come out swinging. And we knew there were many things that were barriers for our young people. The first was access to devices, although we have lots of devices, and our middle and high school students were able to get devices. We knew that we were very uneven in elementary school. We also knew that connectivity was going to be an issue, and that, you know, we did a survey in 2018, and many people filled out that survey and identified that they had internet connection or connectivity to the web via email, et cetera. And what we learned was that many folks were identifying that connection as their cell phone, which, of course, is not the best device for doing schoolwork on. And we really, you know, we just, our strategic plan, the last time I was here, we were talking about that and equity as a value, that we are going to have to make sure that everybody has a device and that that device can be connected to the internet. And it won't make sense for us to give out devices if we're not sure of that connectivity. We also, during this crisis, realized the economic impact that this has had on our community and our parents, and want to make sure that we don't assume that people have connectivity, even if they have it right now, based on a lot of different circumstances that are obviously beyond all of our control, and nobody can really predict. So that's where we are coming to today. I've been working with our Board of Education, had a wonderful meeting, small group meetings with them last Friday, and feel very confident that we're going to be able to come out of the next phase of this in better position to support all of our students.
You mentioned the strategic plan, and I wanted to ask you about that because it was a wonderful rollout. You and I had a very long discussion about the plan in depth. This wasn't part of the plan because nobody saw this coming. How else has this impacted the strategic plan, and what happens to those metrics for this year? Or is this year kind of a wash and we got to pick up again when we have a baseline?
Mike, I never think that anything is a wash. This is an opportunity, you know, the Nelson Mandela quote, I never lose. I either win or I learn. And I think that this is an opportunity for us as a school district not to lose, but to either win or I learn. And I think that, and we learn together. And what we have learned was our the accelerated pace of what's going on in our world has repositioned where we have to be. And that one of the things, and you talked about this when you interviewed me, was that there's a chance to readjust every few months. And now we are going to have to go into, I know that in June, I anticipate bringing, you know, the team back together to kind of think about where the adjustment is. What's interesting is that, you know, mid-year, we talked about Strive for 95. Mid-year, we were already noticing that we had flu season was particularly bad. Now, time will tell what that really was. But, you know, we realized that, you know, there are so many things that are in our control, but many things that are not. One of the things that I know we also learned during this time off was that the kids that we are so fortunate to serve not only need our support, but they depend on our support. They depend on our human connection, and we have to redefine what human connection is when you can't be humanly close. And I think that that's part of the challenge as we move forward.
Just anecdotally, the two little neighbor girls, they're 4 and 6, and when I come outside to get the mail or something like that, it is everything they can do not to just give me a big hug. Mike, how are you, Mike? You know, they're great kids. They're wonderful kids. And yeah, the kids are all starved for that connection. And we have kept our social distance and yet still give the love that's necessary to let the kids know that they're important.
Yeah, I would say I ran into some children on Sunday, a family, and they was with my new husband, and they were excited to see us both. And you know, the kids were just tickled to see me, and I think more tickled to see them. And, you know, I've run into people here in the Garden Center mostly. You know, we're all masked up. A couple people have said, we can still recognize you behind that mask. You know, we human connection is something that I think will be one of the things that comes out of here. We won't take it for granted as much. And we will realize how much of that goes into making us successful in schools. And we need to be together. And when we are not together, we need to figure out ways to figure out that togetherness.
There's something else that's been going on, and it has continued, and it may not be getting the press that it ought to be getting. Mm-hmm. You and the entire OPS organization have been very, very diligent about providing those meals for those folks who may be food insecure. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about that program a little bit?
Well, I would say that we looked at it two ways. One, when you have a crisis, you have a lot of people who come out. And we realized that we have the ability to sustain for the long term. And we started off our food sites small. Are small in number, but not necessarily, and small in sites, but not necessarily in number. We also know that we have food security even when we are in school, and that we have to work with partners in order to get this done. It's not just lunch and breakfast. Is there food in the house? What kind of food it is? So working with our partners at the food bank and some other partners, and especially our philanthropic support, which has been robust and just outstanding, we came up with a long-term game plan. And as we move forward, today we added two new sites, and we will continue to do that. The following week, we add one up at King Science. So that's a preview for, I usually send it out like on Thursday. So for May 11th, we will have one. And then we go to 20. We add 9. We had a meeting on Friday. We finalized our sites then. And then that's the 18th. And then on the 26th, we will go to 40. And the 40 sites is where we feel we can sustain for the long term until we go back to school. And then if we have to have spot closures, that's kind of our frame for if we potentially have spot closures. We don't know what the future is going to bring,
sure,
but we can reasonably predict that we would have at least some of that. And we are prepared with a plan to do that for the long term. It's funny, I was talking to one of the program officers today with one of our philanthropists, and we were talking about that pretty seriously and how we can continue to support during the summer with summer support for some of our social work things that we do during the school year. So we've been working on that plan this morning, and very excited about being able to support our families during the summer with social work support that we don't normally do during the summer.
That's great. Last week, I picked up a story off the Newswire. that you had spoken to the school board about purchasing iPads or laptop computers for all 54,000 students that would be on loan to them. Where is that at, and what hurdles have to happen for something like that?
The biggest hurdle is going to be we have to do a lot of training. Training for our staff, obviously, but a lot of training for our parents. So we're really excited about creating the training for parents so that they will be more prepared and can do that, you know, after this approval this evening that we expect, that we can start that as early as June. And some of that will be synchronous, where there will be kind of online live sessions, and some will be asynchronous for our parents, so we can do it in different languages. And we're working with one vendor. Apple is the provider, as you know. And they have a really good track record of doing some of this work with our parents. But I think that that was something that I am the most excited about, because I think it's something that we really did not have the opportunity, time, or quite frankly, the bandwidth to do that as we transitioned to remote learning. It was just like kind of everybody into the deep end of the pool. And, you know, can be a little bit more methodical. We don't have a lot of time, but we can be a little bit more methodical about how we ensure that our parents know the expectations, that we standardize some expectations so that we, you know, back to the equity lens, so that students are not getting just what they need, but what they deserve.
Going back to what you said about Nelson Mandela, and, you know, you either win or you learn. And mm-hmm. in this case, you're able to almost catapult the school district into a virtual learning environment that's robust, something that is more than just a proof of concept.
Absolutely. And I think, too, that, you know, some of the blended learning things, so, we, you know, some of the learning packets, some of that will continue because, you know, kids need tactile, right? So it won't just be that they need to do one. You know, there are many other things that we have in the works to make sure kindergarten children have letters that they can put on the refrigerator that will be ready for us whenever we start in the fall. And we anticipate some supply chain issues. You know, I've got to be really honest about that. You know, vendors always promise, but, you know, we have to be honest. You know, we can see in the news already that there are supply chain issues, but we certainly, it won't be because of lack of effort, and it won't be because of lack of planning as much as we can now that we have a bit more time. But we know we have to always put, you know, that out there, that supply chain can always be a wild card that we can't predict with the certainty that we would like to.
Sure. Everybody's hearing about the economic impact of this. Can you just kind of give us an overview to reassure people where, you know, where we are from a funding standpoint and how that impacts the kids?
Well, the CARES Act, which they have tied the monies that will be distributed to school districts to their Title I funding. And we have been given information, and our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Scott Roberts, in reference to our what we can expect. And so the entire chunk of that will go to this purchase. It's somewhere between $22 and $26 million. That's what we anticipate. But we do know that we're going to have to tighten our belts. It would be a fool's errand to think that things are going to continue and that funding as we move forward will be exactly the same. We don't know the impact yet, but we can make a reasonable prediction that there will be some belt tightening around the state and, you know, need to be prepared to do our part. Obviously, kids come first, and we certainly will always make that something that is in the forefront of the way we talk about our children here in the Omaha Public Schools. But that's something that we're going to have to all be prepared for. And we've started, you know, talking about it. It's been talked about a lot around the country. We are a part of the Council of Great Cities Schools, and many of those districts are a little bit ahead of us in terms of their states and where they feel they're going to lie. But, you know, we'll be prepared when the time comes. We do have a healthy fund balance, and that will help us. As we, you know, it's a rainy day. It's raining, literally today.
Yeah,
and you know, we'll do what is expected and what is needed of us, and always put our children and our staff in the forefront of our decision making.
Sure. Graduation is a very special time. This year's graduation, I like to think, will certainly be unique. The graduating class of 2020 will have a graduation like no other. The news piece that I saw, the very first set of virtual graduation ceremonies, is Benson High Magnet on May 27th at 4 p.m. Can you give us an overview of how that's going to roll out through the different schools so that each class of 2020 gets honored?
Yes, I will. Our very capable communications team, along with our secondary team, worked very well with our high school principals and a vendor. We work with a vendor. We want to make sure that we had a really nice standard for what each school could, should and expect. And so we hired one for all of our schools. And we recorded, I believe, all of our speeches last week and the week before. I know I recorded mine last Wednesday. And they will put together a virtual graduation that you turn on and you can watch. And then you can record, and folks around the country will be able to stream it and watch that. And we're very excited about the opportunity to make sure that we could do that for our young people. Students came in, they did their speeches, principals, board members, and obviously the superintendent as well, to do their speeches and to personalize it for each school. We, as a matter of fact, I had to do the speech several times because we changed the backdrop because we want to make sure each school is recognized. And, you know, everybody did remarks that are appropriate for the school. And we have our fingers crossed that in August we'll be able to have an in-person graduation. And those are scheduled for August 1st, 3rd, and 4th, I believe, at the Baxter Arena. And, you know, we don't know what that'll look like, but we certainly won't be because of lack of effort to make sure our children can have a in-person graduation in August. And again, we're going to cross our fingers and hope that everybody's socially distanced and we are at a point where community mitigation efforts are such that we can gather.
Certainly. No doubt about it that while there may not have been people physically in the schools over these last several weeks, my goodness, busier than ever, you and your staff mm-hmm. making things happen right now. Is there anything that I missed here? Is there anything that you would like to let folks know that we haven't discussed yet?
Well, the most important thing is that I appreciate saying that our staff made it happen. I'm going to be honest, our schools made it happen. Our teachers, our principals, and all the other folks in between, our tech folks, oh my gosh, they have been very, very busy supporting schools. And it's Teacher Appreciation Week. And I believe that it's Teacher Appreciation Week, every day, especially this year where teachers have had to sometimes you have to unlearn to learn, and there has been so much learning, and, you know, I'm not going to say it wasn't hard, and it certainly has been with bumps and a few roller coaster rides, but they have carried the day. Teachers always carry the day, and if, I tell somebody, if I don't show up, and it doesn't matter, the teacher shows up and the kids show up, it's a school happens. And I think that that's the most important thing, that our teachers, our schools, our school leaders have really carried the day with making sure that they contact students and families that they haven't heard from, and with making, I would say, yeoman's efforts to ensure that we haven't lost anyone along the way. And I appreciate that every day, but today and this week is a special opportunity to recognize our amazing teachers, to include our first teachers, our parents, who have had to step into the role of teacher. And I laugh because, you know, you've seen some memes where parents have suspended their own kids from school on the second day. Yeah. I will tell you, parents, and if you're tired and you need to take a break, you take a break, right? So that's what you have to do because, you know, maintaining a healthy household, you know, healthy in terms of physical and mental social health is very important it's very important for our children. And we're all anxious and we're all tired. And when children see that anxiety and, you know, you're tired, they worry, you know, because they're just miniature adults in many ways. And I would just say to our parents who, you know, again, who are first teachers, to thank them for everything that they have done, for their support, for their suggestions. I've had lots of suggestions from parents so that we can, the next time we're called upon to do this, we can come out swinging.
That's Dr. Cheryl Logan. She's the superintendent of Omaha Public Schools. Thank you so much for taking the time to come out here and safely conduct an interview with me. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We return to NPR programming right now.